Radio Prague News.
Czech leaders have offered help in efforts to restore Notre Dame Cathedral. The Environment Minister says nuclear power and renewable resources are the way forward. And TV presenter Jaromír Soukup says he will run for president. Czech leaders have offered to assist in efforts to restore Notre Dame after the famous French cathedral was severely damaged by fire on Monday evening. President Miloš Zeman said Prague Castle restorers could take part in renovation work on Paris's world-famous landmark. In a letter to President Emmanuel Macron, he said the Czech nation were thinking of the French at this difficult time. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš also said the Czech Republic was ready to help France repair Notre Dame, including financially. He said Prague would wait on a French government decision on how to proceed with the renovation and the organization of a collection. The Minister of the Environment, Richard Brabec, says the use of coal will gradually be phased out. Speaking at a conference on solar energy on Tuesday, he said the path to the future was a combination of nuclear power and renewable resources. Mr. Brabec said that while there could be some debate over what percentage of power would be generated from renewable resources by 2030, there was no doubting that the composition of our energy supply was changing and would change further. The Deputy Minister of Industry and Trade for Energy, René Nedjela, said that a combination of nuclear and renewable was the only way that the Czech Republic could meet EU targets for reducing carbon dioxide emissions. Media owner and television presenter Jaromír Soukup says he will stand in the next presidential elections in the Czech Republic. He made the announcement on his Barrandov channel on Monday. At the start of the year, Mr. Soukup revealed plans to start a political party, initially saying he would run in May's elections to the European Parliament. However, he later said he wouldn't stand himself. The 50-year-old hosts a number of TV shows, including one in which he provides a forum for the current president, Miloš Zeman, every week. Juraj Hertz's 1969 film The Cremator will be screened in a digitally restored version at the 54th Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, the organisers said on Tuesday. The festival has presented a number of restored classic Czech films in recent years. Karlovy Vary, which begins at the end of June, will mark the 30th anniversary of the Velvet Revolution with a series of seven films shot between 1989 and 1995. Czech actress Jitina Bohdalova will appear in this year's festival trailer. And finally, the weather. Wednesday should be bright in the Czech Republic with temperatures of up to 14 degrees Celsius. Daytime highs are then set to climb to around 19 degrees Celsius over the Easter weekend. My name is Ian Willoughby, and that is the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Coming up in today's programme, Czechs offer restoration experts to help France rebuild Notre Dame Cathedral. A festival of Czech films is currently underway in the US and Canada, and later, Vít Pohanka explores the iconic Moravian Palace of Kroměříž. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The world watched in horror on Monday night as the medieval cathedral of Notre Dame, an iconic symbol of the beauty and history of Paris, was engulfed in flames. Expressions of sympathy and offers of concrete help have poured in from Czech state officials and ordinary citizens alike. Brian Kennedy has more.
By dawn on Tuesday, French firefighters had extinguished the flames and specialized teams had begun the arduous and heartbreaking task of assessing the full extent of the damage to the smouldering 850-year-old cathedral. A tweet by Czech Minister of Culture Antonín Staněk encapsulated the nation's desire to help in whatever way it could. With horror, he wrote, "I am watching the devastating fire of the Cathedral of Notre Dame in Paris. I still hope most of it can be saved. I am ready to offer France the help of our experts in restoring this extraordinary monument of world importance." Enormous sums towards repairing the cathedral, over 300 million euros as of Tuesday morning, had already been pledged by two of France's wealthiest families, which between them own world-famous fashion labels such as Gucci, Yves Saint Laurent, and Louis Vuitton. But apart from money, a particular expertise will be needed to rebuild the partially collapsed vault and spire of the Cathedral of Notre Dame, consumed by the blaze. This is where Czech experts in restoration work could step in part due to decades of neglect under communism and in the wake of devastating floods in Prague, this small country has developed an outsized expertise in the field. Ambassador to France Petr Drulák said that as of yet, no specific request for help from the Czech restoration and conservation experts had been received, but preparations of various kinds are underway.
For the moment, we're awaiting specific requests for help from the French, who are still assessing the damage from the fire. We don't know if they'll ask for international help or what form that may take. That should become clear in the coming days. In the meantime, we'll be posting information on our website about the official institutions that have created accounts to which people can contribute.
Monday's fire consumed most of the cathedral's roof, spire, and interior lattice work, and some exceptional stained glass windows. The full extent of the destruction is still unclear. The destruction of its vaults or towers, however, would have been a catastrophe, says architect Petr Kotebor, head of the Heritage Department of the Office of the Czech President.
If the vaults were to collapse, the statics or equilibrium of the entire cathedral would be under threat. If the vaults survive, the interior can be saved, including at least some ornamentation and flourishes.
And that was Petr Chotěbor, the head of the Heritage Department of the Office of the Czech President, speaking to Brian Kennedy about possible help in the restoration of the Notre Dame Cathedral following a fire on Monday. Now, have you heard of Czech That Film? It's an annual festival of contemporary Czech films that is currently underway across the United States and Canada. The largest Czech cultural event in North America offers both Czech expats and US film enthusiasts a chance to get acquainted with present-day Czech cinematography and meet some of the filmmakers in person. Ruth Frankova looked into the event in more detail.
The annual showcase of Czech films was launched in 2012 by Michal Sedláček, at that time Consul General of the Czech Republic in Los Angeles. Initially a small event, it has gradually spread across the United States as well as Canada. The eighth edition of Czech That Film will reach 23 US and Canadian cities, including New York, Toronto, Dallas and Chicago. Šárka Vamberová, the cultural attaché at the Czech Embassy in Washington, is the event's co-organizer.
So I'm very happy that we got Philadelphia and Boston on the East Coast, and on the West Coast it's San Diego. So it's thanks to the Czech community there that they were willing to be part of this big project, and they found a very nice cinema there, and it will be at the end of May. And there will be a screening as well in Pittsburgh in the Andy Warhol Museum. They will show Jan Palach. And in Canada, after Toronto and Ottawa, there will be Edmonton this year for the first time. So we are on some 23 cities of the North American continent now.
The four-month-long event kicked off in Los Angeles on the 5th of April with the screening of the basketball drama Golden Sting by Radim Špaček, who attended the screening in person. Altogether, nine films are being screened this year, including Dukla 61, David Ondříček's film about the 1961 mining disaster in Czechoslovakia, which killed 108 miners, and Winter Flies by Olmo Omerzu, a road movie about two teenage boys which swept this year's Czech Lion National Film Awards. Mrs. Vamberová again.
We try to select the best movies that are usually already nominated on the Czech Critics Academy Awards or the Czech Lions. And then, of course, we try to get the themes and topics that are important and relevant here in the US and that could be appealing to the American audience. You know, we try to have in the selection always some comedy.
This year, the Czech Republic is marking 30 years since the Velvet Revolution, which saw the fall of the communist regime in Czechoslovakia. To commemorate this anniversary, Czech That Film also included Robert Sedláček's Palach in the program. The film tells the real-life story of the student who took his own life to protest against growing public apathy to the 1968 Soviet-led invasion of Czechoslovakia. Los Angeles also saw a special screening of Ucho, or The Ear, a 1970 Czech classic by Karel Kachyňa, which was banned by the communist regime and wasn't released until 1989. This week, Czech films are being showcased to Czech experts and locals in Austin and Denver. The next stop of Czech That Film is Little Rock in Arkansas. The festival will come to a close in Canada's Edmonton on the 18th of June.
And that was Ruth Frankova with that story. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio, where it's now time for our main feature of the day. There is a palace in Moravia like none other. You'll find it in Kroměříž, not far from the banks of the Morava River. What used to be a summer representative residence of the bishops and archbishops of nearby Olomouc later became a popular film location. Inscribed in the UNESCO World Heritage List, Kroměříž is a must-see for all travellers to the eastern part of the Czech Republic. Vít Pohanka has more.
Maybe you've seen the film. It is late 18th century, a darkened palace in Vienna on a cold winter evening. We can hear an elderly man, composer Salieri, calling the name of his rival Mozart, confessing to killing him. Then there are strange, ominous sounds from the locked composer's chamber. And as two servants break in using force, they find bleeding Salieri, who evidently tried to cut his own throat. They rush the moaning old man along the snow-covered Vienna streets in a stretcher. The camera cuts dramatically between the hapless Salieri and the bright, luxurious ballrooms, where people are merrily dancing to the music of his rival Mozart. In 1984, film Amadeus became one of the most decorated films of all times. It got many awards, including 8 Oscars, among them one for the Best Art Direction. In other words, the American Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences praised specifically the overall aesthetics of the film, design of the sets that so convincingly corresponded to the music of a genius. And to many people, surprisingly, you can actually walk right through that exquisite beauty of late Baroque in the small town of Kroměříž in central Moravia. For some of the most memorable scenes of Amadeus were actually not shot in Vienna, but right here in the Archbishop's Palace of Kroměříž. Before I enter the building with the castellan and historian Martin Krčma, I would like to clear out one slightly confusing fact. It is a palace, but even the official leaflets describe it as chateau. And UNESCO included it in its World Heritage List as a castle. So, which is it? Chateau, palace or castle?
In our terminology, it is a chateau. Nevertheless, in its function and in the sense of the word as understood in a European context, it is a representative palace.
But Kroměříž has always been just a summer residence. So why did the bishops of Olomouc decide to invest so much money, time and effort to build this opulent building and fill it with treasures of European art here in a small town that is to this day a bit of a rustic backwater?
We have to understand that Olomouc, where the bishops and later archbishops had their administrative center, was simultaneously a royal city and fortress. That meant there were limited possibilities to develop a truly representative and spectacular residence. Kroměříž, where they had their much humbler residence long before they built this Baroque palace, made that possible. After all, it's not that far from Olomouc. So Kroměříž was the obvious choice.
As sometimes happens in the course of history, it was actually war devastation that made building something new and magnificent possible. But as also happens, almost without an exception, a unique, enlightened personality with a vision was needed too. In case of Kroměříž, it was an Austrian nobleman appointed the bishop of Olomouc in the 17th century.
Karel Chřtěn z Kasterkornu po 30-leté válce zdědil diecézi vlastně zuboženou po všech stránkách.
Karl II von Liechtenstein-Kastelkorn inherited his diocese after the 30 Years' War in a very poor condition. He had an opportunity to kind of restart both its spiritual and economic life, and he decided to rebuild the Kroměříž Palace so that it would represent the cultural and economic richness of the region. He had excellent education himself and managed to put together a group of top architects and engineers. Together with them, he built this palace in about 20 years.
Says Castellan Martin Krčma, as we walk across the main courtyard into the corridors of this magnificent palace.
This is the hunting hall. We have, in fact, entered directly into the representative halls and are following in the steps of the most important visitors who came for an audience with the Archbishop. They would usually be visitors from noble families or high church officials, but there were even the most distinguished visitors here too. Right here in the hunting hall, we have a reminder of the highest meeting that took place. The Russian Tsar Alexander III met the Austrian Emperor Franz Joseph I.
The official reason for the meeting of Alexander III and Franz Josef was, in fact, the volatile situation in the Balkans where both powers had strategic interests. Even then, in 1885, it threatened to cause a major war between the two powers. But here in Kroměříž, the monarchs obviously wanted to demonstrate goodwill, and the only bullets flew when they hunted together.
Ti právě byli lovci tady těch šesti jelenů, jejichž paroží je ozdobeno stříbrnými.
The two statesmen shot six stags. These are the trophies, each of them with a little silver plaque with the name of the hunter. And then we can see a billiard table that was a present from Tsar Alexander to Cardinal Fürstenberg, who hosted them. Both the emperors were really satisfied with their stay here in Kroměříž. It was a special meeting. They came with their families and stayed for 3 days. So they all met, went together even to see a theatre play, and the emperors hunted together. The atmosphere was very friendly, and they probably wanted to demonstrate it to the outside world.
They did, and it would take nearly 30 more years for the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand in Bosnian Sarajevo to start a regional conflict that would immediately explode into a global conflagration of World War I.
We are now surrounded by 99 paintings that represent one part of the Kroměříž Chateau.
Castellan Krčma now shows me into the throne hall, richly decorated and full of valuable works of art. It was here that bishops and archbishops would hold audiences, and they obviously wanted to impress their visitors.
Dva obrazy zde chybí a jsou to obrazy, které z dnešního pohledu považujeme za nejvýznamnější, a to je Tiziánův.
There are two paintings missing here, and they are considered to be the most significant of the whole gallery. The first is Titian's Flaying of Macias, and right opposite the throne, there used to be David contemplating the head of Goliath by Artemisia Gentileschi. It was symbolic. Imagine the ceremonial meetings taking place here under these paintings with biblical and mythological significance. David with the head of Goliath symbolized victory of good over evil in the Judaic Christian tradition. The flaying of Macias represented punishment or pride or victory of wisdom over pride. These two paintings are not in here in the throne hall, but visitors can see them in the gallery on the next floor, where we concentrated 100 of the most significant works from our collection.
There are 100 of the most significant works from our collection.
Finally, we make our way into the probably most famous hall of all.
Náš sněmovní sál znají filmoví diváci po celém světě, ať si to možná neuvědomují.
Movie fans from all over the world know our Parliament Hall, often without even realizing it. It's a very popular film location. It was here that Miloš Forman shot some of the most spectacular scenes in his multiple Oscar-winning Amadeus. There are many other movies with scenes shot in this hall. Last but not least was Oscar-nominated Danish film A Royal Affair.
Dánský film Královská aféra.
But the name Parliament Hall indicates that it was also a set of actual and real historical events, not just film scenes. For it was right here that the first democratically elected Austrian parliament met in the revolutionary year of 1848. More than 400 deputies came to Kroměříž from all corners of the old empire.
Oni se vlastně původně sešli ve Vídni, kde ten sněm byl svolán.
They met originally in Vienna, but after the revolution and uprising in October 1848 took the city by storm, the Emperor Ferdinand and his court moved to Olomouc. The parliament came here to Kroměříž so they could stay in close touch. It was close to the imperial court. Another reason being the size of this palace made it possible to house such a hastily moved large body of men.
Sál má přebohatou výzdobu ve stylu vídeňského rokoka.
The hall is richly decorated in the style of Viennese Rococo or late Baroque. It was built after a devastating fire in the second half of the 18th century. It ranks among the largest halls of this type in Central Europe. What makes it unique are the ceiling paintings. They are not frescoes, but huge canvases fastened onto the ceiling. They celebrate the builder of this hall, Bishop Hamilton. He was really instrumental in rebuilding this Baroque palace after the great fire that I mentioned, and we can see him on the front painting.
Toho my vidíme i na obrazu, na té čelní stěně.
Bishop Maximilian Hamilton, as his surname suggests, came actually from an old Scottish Catholic family. His ancestors fled during the Glorious Revolution and settled in Bavaria. He studied to be a priest, rose in the church ranks, and was finally appointed to Olomouc. Like his predecessor Karl von Lichtenstein-Kasselkorn one century earlier, he left an indelible mark on Kroměříž, and the Parliament Hall is just a part of his legacy.
Podzámecká zahrada je nejnavštěvovanějším objektem našeho areálu.
The Chateau Garden is the most visited part of our complex. The entrance is for free and it's open all year round. We estimate that it's visited by some 500,000 visitors yearly, though we don't know for sure because it's freely accessible. The second most visited is actually the flower garden located a little distance away. The chateau itself comes only third, all its art treasures notwithstanding. So it's really the gardens that draw visitors to Kroměříž.
Zámek jako barokní palác původně měl na sebe navázanou zhruba.
The chateau as a Baroque palace had originally a 20-acre garden. It underwent significant changes depending on prevailing trends of different periods. What we can see today is basically an English park of the second half of the 19th century. It's one of the best preserved examples of this style. That was, in fact, one of the main reasons why the chateau and its gardens were recognized as UNESCO World Heritage Sites.
Toho, proč jsme zapsáni jako památka UNESCO.
Now that may be true, but the chateau itself is a wonderful place full of beautiful paintings, furniture and interior design. You don't have to be an art connoisseur to appreciate its unique atmosphere that makes you literally feel the importance and richness of historical events witnessed by its walls.
And that was Vít Pohanka's feature about the South Moravian Palace of Kroměříž, which was first broadcast on January 12th last year. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. But that is all for now from me, Tom McEncrow. Thank you very much for joining us and goodbye.